This hour of Kevin Miller in the Morning is brought to you by Tway Travel, your adventure travel specialists. Fighting for America.
There is nobody in this country who got rich on his own. You built a factory out there, good for you. You moved your goods on the roads the rest of us paid for.
Fighting for Idaho.
To make me stay for 21 days, to not be with my family, to put me through this emotional and physical stress is completely unacceptable.
Fighting for you.
Kevin, you know that the opinion of Congress is down around 10 or 12%.
Right.
If you only got 10% of the market with your radio station, they'd be looking for another disc jockey here. I know.
Don't give them any ideas.
Okay,
sir.
Well, you've got more than 10. I think you're up to about 18 or 19.
Thanks.
Voices, Mr. Right, Kevin Miller in the Morning, winner of the 2014 Marconi Radio Award on 580 KIDO, Idaho's first radio station.
580 KIDO, Kevin Miller in the Morning here. And I have to tell you, out of my almost 20 years of doing this, I've never interviewed a coroner. Erwin Sonnenberg with us here to talk a little bit about dead bodies. Good morning.
Good morning. It's good to be here, Kevin.
Good to be alive and not on the table.
Well, that's one way of putting it, yes.
You know, we take a look at your life, your history, great profile of you in the Statesman over the weekend. What will you remember your time in office, the most significant event in your career, sir?
Well, there's a lot of ways to look at that. I mean, when you look at different deaths, maybe some of those stand out, some of the inquests I've held. But the main thing is the compassionate stuff I've given to the families and the letters that'll come back of how our office has helped those families through a very difficult time.
And nothing specific that stands out?
Oh, when I think about it, I can think of the Ning death years ago, early in my career, where a family of seven died in a fire. And I can still see the pictures of where the fire department had them laying out there on their on the grass.
Right.
I can remember that. Some of the inquests, the Jones inquest, I think, had a big impact on the community. You know, some of the murders, Hinneman murder, some of those, some of the stuff we have done over the years where we've done the process right, say 10 years ago, but this murder wasn't solved. And then 10 years later, as you know, science has improved,
sure,
we have the evidence that can go back and solve that crime and get the conviction. And that's nice to know, that knowing the processes and knowing the job, having the experience to do the right thing, that years later, you can still help solve that crime.
Now, how true is CSI?
That's one of the big questions I always get. CSI, I mean, you could say it's fairly, you know, fairly accurate in how the process takes, but they have one person doing about 8 or 9 different jobs.
Right.
You know, one person doesn't do all that. And CSI is actually a crime scene investigator, and a crime scene investigator is one that mainly goes around to the crime scene and collects evidence.
But when you see that, do you go, oh, come on?
Yeah, when I watch those, a lot of times I have, you know, I'm seeing the process and I'm going, that's not how it works. I mean, that guy shouldn't be doing that. You know, and, you know, it'd be hard for us. We couldn't function like TV does, you know, doing
sure
the job with how they do.
Now, has CSI made crime fighting more difficult? I was watching 48 Hours. I love that show. And they were talking about people that study these criminal shows, and then they commit these crimes and try and get rid of the evidence.
Well, I don't know if it made it more difficult. I mean, if you look at the murder rate, most murders go unsolved in the United States. You know, that but the process brought it more up to the family. And sometimes the families, even in talking with me, They wonder why we haven't done stuff that is done on TV. We had a motor vehicle accident where the son was killed. There was no question about who he was, but the family called me back and kept wanting to know when the DNA was going to be done on him.
Right.
And there was no need to do DNA. The family knew it was their son, but CSI does DNA. And so they kept going, well, when's that going to be done? And, you know, DNA is very expensive, so you know, you don't do it on everything, and especially when the ID has already been made.
Well, when you take a look at the cause of death of people, what is there anything that, like your spider sense that ticks, that You know, if at one time it might be ruled an accident, that it becomes a homicide. In case I, you know, commit some murders later, I want to get some tips from you here.
Well, a
just
lot
kidding,
of it,
folks. Yes,
a lot of it is, you know, as you gain experience from the training you have, you're looking at things and you're looking at a scene overall, and you learn to find out just what doesn't seem quite right. You know, if something's sitting on a nightstand that normally isn't there, or something's out of place, the way the body's lying, understanding the physiological effects on the body, and when you're looking at it, it can tell you a lot of things. If that's where it was, if that's where the person actually died, or where they moved, or, you know, blood spatter, you can see a pattern, and it can tell you a lot.
Now, there are, what, 2,600 deaths in Ada County every year, according to this published report?
Right around there, yes.
It's a lot of bodies.
Yes. You know, for a population our size, that's it. When you go down to Las Vegas, you know, their coroner's office is seeing about 15,000 deaths a year.
Wow.
But their population is, you know, 2.5, almost 3 million.
So when you meet people and they ask you what you do, what's their reaction?
Well, some of them kind of go, oh, and they maybe they don't want to shake your hand.
Right.
But a lot of them sit back and go, oh, that's cool, that's cool. They think it's, you know, I'm glad you do it because I sure wouldn't want to.
Right. Let me ask you this, and I really didn't want to get into this, but I can't avoid this. This race has been very contentious for your successor, and you've endorsed one person in this race.
Yes.
Why do you think there's a lot of spotlight on your successor, sir, whoever it may be?
It seems like when you're looking at these offices, you know, experience matters. And when you can't match up with the experience, you have to find something else to attack.
But, I mean, why do you think that so many people want this position? You know, that are backing these two candidates. You've endorsed one. What's so important about your office? When, you know, we're talking in the break room, people go, the coroner? Why should I care about the coroner?
What people don't understand, the coroner's office, they look at it as being criminal. That if there's not a lot of crime, then the coroner's office job is pretty easy. Our job, the criminal aspect is not as important. When you look at the overall picture, I mean, it's an important aspect, but, you know, when a person is, say, stabbed with a knife or shot with a gun and he's 25 years old, that's a pretty simple case for a coroner because perfectly healthy, has a gunshot to the chest. The difficulty comes in the law enforcement side putting that together. Ours is pretty simple. Whereas ours gets more difficult is when you have the person that has, say, died out in the public in a store or died on the workplace, and the civil issues come in. Did something happen in that store to cause him to slip and fall? Was the company involved? If it's a hospital, if, you know, depending on how it comes to us, we might get involved in some of the medical legal stuff. Are the processes done properly? So our job is the biggest aspect is making sure not just the person that has died has his word, which we speak for the deceased person. But we want to make sure if that child dies in the daycare center, we're not only trying to help the family, but we're also helping the owners of that daycare center so that people understand that have their kids in that daycare center, that this daycare center did everything right. It's letting the people that have their child in that daycare center feel safe, that they know there's nothing going on, that child isn't sick, or has some type of an infectious disease that'll carry on. Same thing in corporations, or, you know, or if you're dealing essentially with some of the medical legal, we don't get involved in a lot of medical legal situations or malpractices, but we get involved in some. But but we're speaking for the deceased to give all the information there to help out, say, the corporation to show that they did everything right, to help out the public so the public feels safe in that situation. They know nothing was going on.
Right.
That it's safe to go into the store. The store doesn't have a lot of hazards laying around.
Right.
So, I mean, that's where a lot of our work is. The criminal part isn't as much because we don't have a lot of murders in Ada County, but we still have a lot of accidental deaths, suicides, and our rulings are very important when we make a decision. And I've had decisions that have been very difficult to make, you know, when you have a family sitting across wanting you to do something different.
Erwin Sonnenberg with us, Kevin Miller in the morning here, talking about the coroner's office, something I've never done in my 20 years of radio. But what's up with the Y incision? What's that about?
that's just the incision that's made to open up the body. That's the easiest.
But you don't have to, and you mentioned this earlier, I just want to reiterate, not every death is an autopsy, right?
No, not at all. A small percentage are, you know, when you look at the autopsies, we're about 200 this year, and we've also got about 200 inspections, which is looking at the body without doing the autopsy. And that's important. What's, you know, the inspection, when we bring the bodies in, it's important that we can answer all the questions. And if we can determine the cause of death, and we don't need to do the autopsy, and we don't have to cover legal issues, we do what's called the body inspection, and that's looking at it from head to toe and photographing. So if people come back and make a question about it, I mean, we've had a lot of times, say a family member that lives out of state or someone else saying, that person, he had a big bruise, you know, on his back, and this person did
it. Or the
this.
Brother-in-law did it.
Yeah, and we can show that there is no bruise on that body. We can answer those questions. That's the process of where experience matters in the office, that you know that you're getting everything done right, so you can answer those questions down the road. Without knowing or having the experience, you'll miss a lot.
Are you surprised at the amount of attention that this race has gotten? We had a forum last night. You had one candidate go, another candidate not go. Very contentious charges back and forth. I mean, you seem to be a guy that's above the fray. You know, you're about the only one in the building right now wearing a tie, so that qualifies as you being above the fray.
Well, I mean, elections are elections. But over the years, I found that, you know, of all the people I've dealt with, probably over 30,000 deaths, very few of them have, say, a pure background on their life. Everybody's got issues. So when I look at like who I support and who I hire in my office,
right,
the main thing I want to know is how they act under pressure.
Right.
I mean, a lot of people have stuff in their background that you want to question. Maybe.
So we're the elephant in the room here. Is that what we're going to bring up, or do we keep going?
That's up to you. I've always in my career talked about anything people wanted to talk about that related to my office.
So. Well, I just want to talk to you, and I understand you have a vested interest here, but yeah. my goal is to talk to you about what you do, and your opinion is welcome.
Yeah. Well, for me, it's important that you have somebody that you know how they act when the chips are down. They aren't afraid to open up their life and let it be exposed. And when I hired Dottie,
right,
with who you're talking about, I knew about her background. I sat and talked to her about it. I mean, she's a person who, under circumstances, had difficult times. A lot of women have gone through what she's done. But she's rose up above it, got an education. And
what about,
you see how they act.
You could say that about Sherry Ibarra.
But you're talking experience. Let's go back into experience.
That was a joke.
I know it was, but
that
I'm
was
saying.
A joke.
But I'm just saying we need to look at experience.
Well, and let's let people in on this. We have, it was a big issue last night. She was charged in 2006 with felony fraud after having insufficient funds to cover a $750 check. She says she pled guilty. She didn't respond in the Statesman's Voter's Guide. You see, when questioned by a Statesman reporter, she said she did have a bankruptcy in 96 in Utah, $300,000 in medical bills because her child became ill.
And if you look back in the past, a lot of people have that same thing. She was wrong in the way she answered that question.
Not disclosing it?
Yeah. I mean, she's admitted that, but she's stepping forth and talking about it. I mean, when you look at how people handle the stuff, I mean,
I think you're talking more about her than you.
But back to me.
You're about the only guest that ever does that. I want to hear about you, but you know that is an issue. And if people have a question on the race, would you be willing to take phone calls on that?
Oh, I'll take anything. Yeah.
All right. Well,
yeah, I'm up for it all.
Your game. All right. 580-5436, 580-KIDO. If you would like to talk to Erwin Sonnenberg about the coroner's race and his opinion, agree or disagree, we always want to make sure that people have an opinion. I'm sure we'll get some folks on this, and then you and I will talk about Happy Talk in
right.
between the phone calls.
That'll be fine.
But, yes, because I do, again, for people that don't have a vested interest in this race, this is about the only time they're gonna probably get a chance to hear from you. What's that?
You know, something you might talk about. This is one of my challenge coins. I want to give that to you that I developed for our office, and our office sells them.
Right.
And, military, law enforcement. A lot
yes,
of people
exactly.
But I just like to give you one right now. And
well, thank you.
It kind of shows, you know, I think it's a pretty nice coin.
We're going to try and get you to listen to the show more. I know you listen to everybody, so you've got to be a political person. More coming up next. And again, you want to take phone calls, right?
Yeah, I'll take them all.
All right, 580-5436. Kevin Miller, let's get you to traffic now at 5.
Time for the KIDO Tway Travel Great Adventure. Here's this hour's city to enter in at 580KIDO.com.
Oh, Ray Amaya, thank you very much for that. We appreciate it. Boston, you're my home, is today's city. And Sean Hannity is the show for your second chance to win. Now, folks, this is a really great prize. You get to go anywhere in the continental United States, a couple other places, you and your sweetie, or your sweetie on the side, or maybe whoever else. We want to thank the folks at Tway Travel for this. Now, the drawing is Friday. You can sign up today and enter today at 580KIDO.com. Just go to the Tway Travel Getaway, and do want to thank Tway Travel for saying, hey, we've got this great prize. Let's give it to the people at 580KIDO. Remember, Boston is the city today, and Sean Hannity is your second chance to win. We go to the phones, and we go to Reggie with Erwin Sonnenberg at 580KIDO. Good morning, Reggie.
Good morning, Kevin. How are you doing?
Oh, it's been a while. Good to talk to you.
Yes, you too. Thank you so much for having me on, and thank you for having I love that Erwin is there today. Thank you, Erwin, for stepping out and being here to talk about the coroner's race.
Well, thank you, and thank you for calling in.
Yes, my question is, I don't have a problem with imperfection in people's lives. I know they're messy. We have a lot of confusion, et cetera, in our lives. However, I'm concerned about the trust factor. She did not disclose the answer to the statesman when they asked her. How do we trust her as coroner?
You know, that's a good question. But if you look at the way she answers it, I've always evaluated people on how they handle themselves in the trenches when the issues come up. A lot of times people are caught, making mistakes. You know, she's admitted that was a mistake. You know, and not disclosing it. But I've seen her in the trenches. I know how she works. And when I hire people, I look at that same thing. I don't look to see, you know, when people, they ask, you know, who's recommending you for this. You look at all the names. And I try to look and see what names have worked alongside the trenches. When I do background checks, I ask the people that have worked in the trenches to find out how they work in the trenches. And Dottie worked for me, so I know all of the background about her. And she was wrong in not putting that out, but I've seen her work in the trenches, and I've seen her in difficult situations have to make decisions. And that's where I see the importance is in making those decisions. You know, when you get in politics, I mean, your whole life is opened up, and it's a different breed when you're out there, and you have to learn. And that's all what part of a campaign is, too. You learn a whole lot of things in the campaign, and you got to learn to get thick skin. And you learn a whole lot about yourself and everybody else. And that's what I'm saying. She's out there putting herself out in front, discussing stuff. Her whole career is out there, her personnel files and everything. I question the other candidate, Mr. Chilton, that he talks about his law enforcement experience, but he guards his personnel file dearly. He will not open that up. And I think that's something he should open up today. And let the public just see if he claims his experience is so good, a personnel file shows you your history in the job.
All right, Reggie, thank you for the call. We go to Tea Party Bob from the Gem State Patriot at 580KIDO. Have you listened to Tea Party Bob at all?
I've heard him on the show several times.
Yeah. He you better watch out. He's a good one.
Good morning, Kevin. How are you? Good morning, Erwin.
Good morning, Bob.
I've got a question. I've been reading the articles and the news about Dottie Owen. I've seen her signs around. I've also listened to Mr. Chilton. I've read some of his articles. And I've hired and fired hundreds of people in my lifetime in the business I was in. I've always found that the way people handle an interview or the way they speak to you the first time around gives you the lasting impression about what they're all about. And if you can't handle that question under pressure, then how are you going to be able to handle that same pressure when you're on a job? And I found that most times, and I say most times, when I've hired somebody and they haven't answered the questions properly, they do fail on the job also. Because honesty is something that's built in. Forthrightness is something that's a morality and an ethic. And if you can't answer a question properly when you're asked it the first time, I don't expect you to answer it again the second time.
Now, is there a question here?
Yes. The question is, how do I trust this lady if she couldn't do this the first time?
Well, you're saying this is the first time she ran for office.
I understand
I know.
That.
But as I say, you look at what's going on. She's out front answering questions. I say this. Why didn't Mr. Chilton show up at the
Well, we're not talking about Mr. Chilton. We're talking about Dottie Owen.
But I'm telling you, she's forward answering questions. She's answering questions. You're seeing
correctly.
How she responds. No.
She didn't answer correctly.
Oh, I would agree with that. She's admitted she's wrong on that, that she should have answered it differently. If you look at it, Gary Rennie, Chief Masters, and myself, we all knew the past. That's a learning experience. She was wrong in the way she answered the question. Her work ethics that I have seen since her 12 years past when that occurred is impeccable. She's out answering questions. Mr. Chilton's not out answering questions.
Right, but she's not going to be. She hasn't been in a real position of power for the last 12 years. You are now going to put her in as the senior person. And answering questions is a critical part of that job.
And that's what the public has to decide. Do you want somebody that has made a mistake in their life, which a lot of us have, but if you know the full story, you know, circumstances developed back then. She didn't answer the question right. But if you look at her worth ethics, where she's at, she's up front answering questions. I've seen her in the trenches handling difficult questions. I've seen her working with families doing what is correct. Mr. Chilton's not out front answering questions.
Well, I don't know about Mr. Chilton answering questions, but I haven't seen him answer any the wrong way. And I guess it's going to be up to the voters to actually have to decide.
Yes, experience matters. Experience.
Right. Exactly.
That's the thing. You've got to look at the experience.
I'll see you later, Tea Party Bob.
Take care. See you later, Kevin. Bye.
All right. Bye-bye. Thank you. This is an honor. You get Ronnie from Caldwell here at 580 KIDO.
You know, I don't know about this, dude, Millie. You've taught me a lot in the last 5 years, dude, and one of the things you've always said is follow the money. Is Mrs. Dottie giving you, are you on the take from her? You seem awfully proud of her, man. And I mean,
this is Ronnie, our investigative reporter here.
Good morning, Ronnie.
Uh-huh.
Now, you're saying, am I on the take from Dottie?
It seems like maybe she's paying you to say these things, or maybe you guys have a relationship behind the scenes that's more than just friendship, if you know what I mean. There's got to be a different angle here. I'm feeling something fishy.
Well, who's Chilton on the take with the people supporting him?
No, I think that guy's pretty good. I've talked to some friends of mine that know a lot about politics, and they said he's solid. But this chick sounds like she doesn't pay her bills, man, and... You're in the rabbit hole now, Erwin.
Yeah, you're talking 12, 14 years ago. Look at her history.
How old was she then, though? How old was she when she didn't pay her bills?
Pardon?
How old was she when she didn't pay her bills back then?
She was a newly married mom with four kids. Probably she'd have probably been in her late 20s, early 30s.
Personally, I think that's too many kids for that age. That's irresponsible right there.
Now, wait a minute, Ronnie. Ronnie, this is a serious issue here.
Let me just add one thing. You may say that, but she left a marriage, went on, and as a single mom, got her college degree, got a master's, and rose and made something of her life, and is doing in a position to run for office. So she's made a lot of changes in that time.
She couldn't even keep her marriage together.
All right, Ronnie. Thank you very much. Ronnie, do we need to bring up the stalking charges with you? Oh, Ronnie got mad. Anyway, I think one of the unfortunate things that happens in politics is that we see issues, personal that have been resolved, become headlines.
Correct.
And in reality, it comes down to... your job performance, and it will be up to the voters to decide one way or the other.
That's correct.
I really didn't want to talk about this, but...
I know you didn't.
The Quincy references would have been very dated.
I think we probably all knew this would come about somehow. But, you know, politics, I mean, start from the national level on down. Politics is not fun. I mean, when you get into it, you better be ready to deal with a lot of issues, and you got to be forthfront. And you know, Dottie is forthfront. I mean, she's out there to be talked to on anything, and she's opened her life up. And that's the thing for politics.
I think you made that point.
Yeah.
Anyway, let me hit you with this. You're out there stumping, right? You're talking to the people. How do you see this governor's race playing out? I mean, from a, as a political operative, one way or the other, how do you see this playing out?
Oh, I think Otter will win it in the run. I know if you look through the primaries, he didn't win Ada County or Canyon County, which are, you know, big populous areas. But I think when you look at the overall of the state, you know, number one in salary.
No, I get the talking points, but you've got the anger. You've got Mr. Blukoff with the money. This is unprecedented before. Yeah.
Well, the longer you run in office, the more you're opened up for criticism. And that's where politics is a matter of people need to find out the candidate, find out what they're about, and not vote on just feelings, but see what they're about, find out what their experience is, and you have to vote on what you feel is the right person for the time.
Words to live by. We appreciate Mr. Sonnenberg. Thank you.
You're welcome.
You're listening to 580 KIDO.
Back weekdays at 9. Now back to Kevin Miller on 580 KIDO, Idaho's first radio station.
Best cities for centrists. So the people who can't make up their mind. Spokane Valley, Washington. Bend, Oregon. What is this?
Indio.
Indio, California. Never even heard of it.
Haven't either.
Gainesville, Florida. Albany, Georgia. Boise, Idaho, which I hear is...
That's a centrist town?
I've heard... No. I've heard that is leftist.
Really?
Central,
Boise? Yeah.
Boise has gone leftist crazy.
Hear that, Boise?
Pretty, though.
That's hard to believe.
No, yeah, Boise is a great city.
It's a great city, but I have heard like all of the nuts from California. They're doing to Idaho what they did to Washington State. The people who were they were like, we're just free living. We don't believe in pants. California has gotten so strict now. We don't believe in pants, and we believe that government should regulate against pants. We just are free spirits, but we want to make sure that everybody has the exact spirit that we have, and so we're going to regulate that. Those are the people that are now
so
moving.
Boise is now a pantsless town.
It's pantsless.
I didn't realize that.
Pantsless.
They all had pants last time
I
was there.
Now it's like coffee houses. And,
yeah. Me too.
It's coffee houses and places that you can't buy pants.
They did pass a bottomless amendment in the state constitution.
They did. Mm-hmm.
That's interesting.
Yeah, that's what I've heard.
Okay.
Muncie, Indiana.
There you have it. Glenn Beck, and do want to thank our friend China Gum for sending that to me. Do appreciate it. Do you agree with Mr. Beck? Craig, good morning. You're at 580 KIDO. Hey, Craig.
Good morning, Kevin. I moved up here 19 years ago with a six-week-old daughter and basically moved from the Bay Area and ended up having no money and just basically had a decent job at Micron and worked for HP, etc. And from when I first moved up here, people were very friendly. People would talk. And over the years, I've seen people basically moving up here and buying big homes, as a previous caller said, which is fine. I mean, if you've got money, I have nothing against having money. It allows you to make choices. But what I've seen is people moving up here, and I know specifically several people, they said, oh, we had to move our kid away from the bad influences and gangs. Well, the problem was their children were the problem. And now we've got people moving up here who basically think that if we only did something a little bit different, if we only did something, you know, it's like the cult of personality. They're looking for God on earth. And, people aren't very friendly anymore. It doesn't seem like. I mean, there are certain people who are. You are. Some of the people I've met are up here. But a lot of people just come up here and it's like they're on automatic. They don't think, why did I leave California and do I want to recreate what I left because I didn't like it? They're just non-thinking, it seems like. They're just reactionary. And so I would absolutely agree with Glenn Beck. In fact, a friend of mine and I were talking several, probably 4 or 5 years ago saying, look what's happened. It's become like California again. And when he goes and visits his in-laws down in Southern California, he goes ahead. I mean, he's a native of here, but when he goes and visits down there, he comes back and he goes, yep, same behaviors, same thing. So.
Well, welcome to California.
Yeah, I think I'm going to be moving in probably the next 4 years. I don't want to be here anymore. This place has turned into a traffic, crowded, laden, rude, you know, just degenerate place. I mean, the city fathers, they wanted to be a big city. Oh, we want to be metropolitan. We want to be urbane and sophisticated. Well, with that comes problems. So people like Dave Beter, who wanted to create the great city of Boise and make it a monument to their existence. Well, thanks, Mr. Beter. Here's what you've got. You've got all the urban problems you wanted now. Meth. You know, people bringing in pot. People bringing in, you know, whatever. People coming up from Southern California and trying to blend in and do credit card fraud. You know, all the things that Boise didn't have when it was a smaller community. Now that we're this wonderfully larger community, there's all the problems that they have. They think they can manage this stuff. You can't control it all. And that's their delusion. They think they can control it.
Craig, thank you for the call.
All right. Take care, Kevin. Have a good day.
Appreciate it. You know, it's interesting. By the way, your thoughts on what Glenn Beck has said about Idaho, 580-5436, 580-KIDO. Other issues that we are talking about, you can go to our website, 580kido.com. A great funny video that we put together in honor of Miller's mission, and that is Kevin Miller is a Turkey, a short video. If you're having a tough day, I recommend it. Also, we are asking you, should Idaho quarantine Ebola patients? Is it a matter of when, not if Ebola comes to Idaho? And let's not delude ourselves, are we ready for the big E? Or as Bob would say, to go e-bowling, if you will. That's at 580kido.com. And what concerns me, and I've always been a person who, if you don't like where you are, you move. You go somewhere else. Now, we can say because America is changing, we had Mr. Stallings on talking about the death of the Republican Party, and that was great to get going before 6:30 in the morning. I love the progressives and the Democrats always giving advice, heartfelt, true advice to Republicans, as if they really want the Republicans to succeed, which they don't. But the idea of moving out of this state, you know, we've had Jeff, we've had Eric, we've had our great friend Craig, who, Craig, you and I, you know, we pass in the night. I remember when you were looking for a job. I remember when you stopped by and gave us some food for the troops when you couldn't afford to. I remember when you smacked me about not driving pickup trucks. A good man, a smart man, who's fed up. Now the big question is, where do you go? I mean, Wyoming? Heck, we're just about ready to get a Panera Bread in Nampa, a second Cracker Barrel. Now, if that's not the signs of civilization, I don't know what is. Jeremy in Meridian, you're on with Kevin Miller, 580KIDO. Good morning, Jeremy.
Good morning, K. Millie. How are you doing?
Living the dream, brother.
That's right. That's awesome. So at first I was going to give you a hard time about letting that last guy off, but it sounds like you're along the same lines as me. I'm wondering where he's going to go next. I mean, is he going to move to Wyoming or Montana? I mean, the funny thing is that so many of the critics, you know, coming from California are of the Californians. And, you know, Idaho's still great. I've been in the Army for the last 19 years. I've lived in Colorado. I've lived in Texas. And, you know, I keep coming back to good old Idaho because we still don't have the gangs. You know, we'll have mass here. We'll have pot here, regardless how big we get. You know, you go to some of the smaller cities in Idaho, and they still have meth and pot issues. It's not the fact that we've grown, which you can't avoid. You know, cities grow, especially capitals and metropolises. So regardless of what Dave Beter's doing to try and make Boise a better place, I'm not leaving anytime soon. And that guy, you know, he can go back to California, or he can go, you know, to Wyoming if he wants to, but not for me.
Jeremy, thank you for the call.
You're welcome.
All right, quickly to Barbara in Meridian at 580KIDO. Hello, Barbara.
Hi, how are you?
I'm good.
I just want to say that I really think Idaho is a fantastic place. I've been here for 22 years, and I actually am a Southern Californian. And unfortunately, I do get tagged with that stigma. But I have to say that in my neighborhood in particular, I have the most fantastic neighbors. Recently, I had to have shoulder surgery, and my neighbors mowed my yard all summer long because I couldn't do that. I was raking leaves this weekend, and a neighborhood boy, about 13, stopped to help me rake leaves. I never had that in California. I rarely lock my house, and when I was in California, I bolted my house. So, you know, it's still the best place to live, in my opinion, and if he's not finding friendly people, I think it's because he's not being friendly.
Well, and these are the responses of Glenn Beck. Barbara, thank you for the call. Quickly to traffic. Good morning, Dave.
Ramsey, weekdays at noon. Now back to Kevin Miller, winner of the 2014 Marconi Radio Award on 580 KIDO, Idaho's first radio station.
35 in Star. Let's get you to traffic at 580 KIDO. Coming up, Jimmy Carter, believe it or not, has a solution to the controversy involving gay marriage. And it's not what you think. More on what Glenn Beck has said about Idaho. Is it time to say we'll be seeing you? And why is A.J. Belukoff a goalie for governor? Those questions answered, and your phone calls of logic, of insight, of brilliance. Yes, I'm pandering. Next, right after Fox News, 580 KIDO. Good morning.
Serving Emmett, Idaho.